Father God, I just thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the opportunity, Father God, to represent you. Lord, I give you praise right now for the atmosphere and the shift in this room. I thank you for the unity and the clarity. I thank you for ingenuity, creativity, and strategy. I thank you, Father God, for rending the veil. I thank you for understanding. I thank you for blessing me with the tongue of the learned. I thank you, Father God, for a calm and composed spirit. I thank you in the name of Jesus that not one word will fall to the ground. I thank you in the name of Jesus that anything that the enemy has sent out, we render it known, void, and ineffective. And we give you praise right now. In Jesus' name, yes. Amen.
Amen.
I'm coming from Ephesians, and I'll just give a little analogy about the history of Ephesians. Ephesus was a religious center, famous especially for its magnificent temple of Diana and Artemis, a structure considered to be one of the seven wonders of the world. And the practice of magic and the local economy were clearly related to this temple. Paul did three missionary journeys there. And the last one, he stayed for 3 years. And he was training the people. They were so infested with witchcraft and the worship of other gods and deities and all of that stuff. And he had to deal with all of that. And he went there after, he didn't want to go to correct a specific error. He went to prevent, it's called like preventive medicine. He wanted to deal with problems before they got started. And you have to remember, because of the stuff that the people had gone through and what they dealt with and their studies, he had, when the church got started, he had to deal with the lying, the cussing, the sex, the stealing, and all of that. And after they had grown a little bit, you know, he sent them a letter of encouragement because he wanted to remind them of who they were in Christ. And Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Christ Jesus, yet living as beggars, and only because they are ignorant of their wealth. Since they have yet to accept their wealth, they relegate themselves to living as spiritual paupers. Paul begins by describing chapters 1 through 3, the contents of the Christian's heavenly bank. We are believers in Christ, 1:1. The heavenly places in Christ, 1:3. Chosen in him, 1:4. Adopted through Christ, 1:5. In the beloved, 1:6. Redeemed in him, 1:7. Given an inheritance in him, 1:11. Given hope in him, 1:12. Sealed in him, 1:13. Made alive together with Christ, 2:5. Raised and seated with him, 2:6. Created in Christ, 2:10. Brought near by his blood, 2:13. Growing in Christ, 2:2. A partaker of the promises of Christ, 3:6. And given access through faith in him, 3:12. This is just a few of the things of reminding them of who they were in Christ and what they had. So I'm going to be going from that to chapter 6, in spiritual warfare. He dealt with relationships in chapters 4, and he started off with relationships in chapter 6. And it's for us to, like, for them to get certain things in order. It started at home first. And he said, children, obey your parents. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that your days may be long. Honor your father and mother. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are over you as masters, slaves. Also apply to employees in the workplace. Masters or bosses, be careful how you treat those under you, knowing that he who is both your master and yours in heaven, and that there is no respect of persons, nor partiality with him. And then from there, I'm going to read chapter 6, starting at verse 10. After dealing with all of that, your relationship mm-hmm. with one another, mm-hmm. because he's speaking to them about unity mm-hmm. and living in harmony. Mm-hmm. Okay. Finally, my brethren, mm-hmm. be strong in the Lord mm-hmm. and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. We are not wrestling with flesh and blood, mm-hmm. contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master prince who are the world rulers of this present darkness, mm-hmm. and against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground. On the evil day of danger, and having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly mm. in your place. Mm. Okay. Put on the whole armor of God. Paul used the Roman soldier's armor mm. because the armor of God started back in the Old Testament, 700 BC, 600 years before the Romans exist. Mm. But at that time, these are Gentile believers. They had no knowledge of the armor of God from times of old. So the armor of the Roman soldier's armor was the only thing he could use to explain to them how to dress. Therefore, hold your ground, mm-hmm. having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and moral rectitude mm-hmm. and right standing with God. Mm-hmm. Stand your ground. Tighten the belt of truth. The Roman belt was used to hold the breastplate and their armor. They had a dagger, a javelin, and a two-edged sword. Mm. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel, shod your feet with the preparation for firm-footed stability to face the enemy. The Roman soldiers' shoes had spikes mm. to hold so that they could stand their ground in battle. Mm-hmm. Lift up over all the covering, shield, and saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked. The Roman soldier's shield was made of wood and leather, and they soaked it in water to quench the flaming arrows that was shot at them. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword that the Spirit weaves, which is the Word of God. The helmet protect your head, and it's tell them to have the mind of Christ. Okay. Then pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and persevering, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. And pray also for me, that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a cup and chain in prison. And the breastplate of righteousness represented, that's Christ, because we're dressed in his robe of righteousness. But what I wanted to say, this is the dress of the Roman soldiers. And that's what, that's the only thing he could use to explain to them how they were to live. Okay. Now, the the actual armor of God is this. This is the actual armor of God. It is the priesthood. When you go to 1 Peter 2:9, he said you are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood. I said, when you entered the priesthood back in those days, you actually entered the military. You were meant to fight.
Oh, God.
When you girded up the belt, you were equipped for the war. And say it was thousands and thousands of priests. And when the armies went out to fight, the priests led the fight.
That's
right. So we, and his thing was, he was telling, who are you in Christ? The enemy knows who we are. But who do we know who we are? And when I looked up, because I wanted to get a full understanding of the armor of God, we can't fight spiritual Ephesians 6 with armor, with physical armor. In the priesthood, the helmet of salvation, on that gold band, it says, holy unto the Lord, meaning that you are sanctified and set apart for him. On the breastplate, it's got represents all the nations of Israel. And it's the heart of God. It's the priest was the intercessor, the go-between between God and the people. When he came before the people, I'm representing God. I'm coming here. I want to hear your request. I want to know what it is, what need to be done, what's on your heart. When I go to God and I'm interceding for you, God, I'm coming to you, and I have the people on my heart.
Wow.
And it's like when Nehemiah was going into war, and he said, fight. Fight for your children.
Yes.
Fight for your neighbors. Fight for your family. So when we as intercessors go before the Lord, we're going with the breastplate of righteousness. We're dressed in Christ. The word of God says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the armor of God. We put it is a lifestyle. You can't get up in the morning and say, I'm going to put on my armor. I never leave the house. You should not leave the armor of God home, because you should have it at all times. He said that they had to wear white garment, robes and whatever. And that had to always be clean. It had to be spotless. It had to be stainless. And in the spirit, the only way our robes can be stainless is that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit. We are not out of sync with one another. We're not backbiting. We're not out of unity. Keep our robes from being stainless in the spirit. The breastplate is protect your heart. God said, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Then the belt is the belt of truth. They had that belt to hold up the garment, the robe, so that they would not trip. But you had to have that. It's called the belt of truth, so that you would be honest, that you walk integrity, that you're honest with your ministry is tried and true. Yeah, when I go before God, I'm going with a clean heart. If not, then the word of God says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Because at that enemy has a spirit assigned to each one of us. Just like God have angels assigned to us. And they're taking note. When we say come out, do something good, or say something good, the angels of God take it and run with it. When we do something out of character, the enemy takes it and run with it. And he can stand. That's why he's called the accuser of the brethren. And sometimes when we do things and we'll say the devil is a liar, not all the time. He may be, he's a liar on earth, but he cannot go before God and lie. He cannot stand in the presence of God and lie. He has to take the truth. He gotta go and he has to take facts. When he does that, and when you know that you have done something, say, be quick. Be quick. Be quick to forgive. Mm-hmm. Do not go bad, let the sun go down with anger. Mm-hmm. Be quick to confess your sin. Mm-hmm. Because God will forgive. And the enemy cannot stand that. That's how we put knots in his head or render his work void. We don't take for granted that he don't have power. Mm-hmm. He can wreak havoc in your life.
Yes.
And we be careful of how we talk about him to provoke him, because he's already angry. And if we're going to exalt anybody, let it be God.
That's right.
Let it be God. Then you have the they didn't wear shoes in the temple because it was considered holy ground. When they say that your feet are shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, that's what you've got to run with. Mm. It say, how sweet are the feet of those that carry the good news. Mm. And so that as when we run with the gospel, we're people of peace, of reconciliation. Mm. How do people look at us? How do we see ourselves? Mm. Peace is a binding. It's the binding element between harmony and unity. Mm-hmm. And I look at, because I came from a family of brick masons, I say peace, I looked at it as peace like mortar, mm-hmm. holding the bricks together. Mm-hmm. And if you got peace in the house, the atmosphere is pleasant.
Right. Yeah.
But if there's no peace and there's disunity, there's nothing but confusion and strife.
Yes.
Prayers going unanswered.
Yes.
And anger and the relationships broken. And he had to deal with all of that with the Ephesus. He had in Ephesus, he had to try to get them to change their thinking from the way they were and what they had come out of, all the witchcraft and get them to be renewed in the spirit of their mind. Then you have the sword, which is the word of God. It's like the Roman sword. There's a double edge, but say, Ephesians, I think it's Ephesians 4:12. A word of God is sharp, is active, is quick, and it is sharper than a two-edged sword.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he used the armor in that day. That was the only thing he could use to get them to understand, because they didn't know about the priestly garments. They were Gentile believers, and it was coming out of God knows what. And then you have the shield of faith. And in Psalms 84:11, it says that he is a sun and a shield. The sun to blind the enemy, and the shield for our protection.
Wow.
When in the Roman armor, they got the shield of he used the shield, but that shield don't cover for so much.
Mm-hmm.
But in Christ, we are totally and completely shielded. I like westerns, and I like the one with the outlaw Josie Wales. And the Indian was trying to tell him, when you go to fight, it'll be a good idea to have the sun at your back.
Mm-hmm.
And so his Indian friend got caught. Mm-hmm. And the commentators had kidnapped some other people that they was going to sell. And when at that morning, when they was riding, they looked and there was an image in the sun. And it was looking like, who is that? And he sent somebody out there to see who it was. And even though it got close, because of the brightness of the sun, they still could not recognize it.
Mm.
And Joseph Wells, you know, he chewed tobacco. As soon as he spit, they knew who it was, but it was already a wrap. They were dead. They were dead. But what I'm saying that when he's, you know, when we're in Christ, the Son of God should shine so bright in us that when people see us, who is that? Because sometimes you don't even have to say anything. They know something is different about you. And then when you have the when you're in Christ and you have on that priestly garment, it say he's a shield. That means every part of you is covered. In the Roman army, your breastplate, your helmet, your eyes, and all of that is uncovered. I think it was in when Ahab asked Jehoshaphat to go to war with him, but he tricked Jehoshaphat into wearing the kingly priest garment while he wore regular, so the kings wouldn't recognize him. But they recognized him, and when they shot the arrow, it went through the armor. So, but in Christ, and you know, and don't think that you're not going to have casualties and you're not going to get hurt. That we're going to, Paul said, this is a suffering ministry. This ministry that, I know the Muslims, they criticize Christ, but they see it as a very weak ministry and a weak God or whatever. I read something long time ago that say, if you think being meek is weak, then try being meek for a week. Just try being meek for a week. But our ministry is not a tiptoe through the tulips and smell the roses. There would be casualties, but we are called to war. And then when he say, when you go into intercessory prayer, God is, that's what we're doing. We're warring. And that's what God is calling prayer warriors. That's what the priestly, the high priest was. They was intercessors. They was go between. Even Jesus himself was, he was a intercessor. We're called not to just sit and do not, okay, come to praise and worship and whatever. We're called to fight.
That's right.
We're called to fight. It's war.
That's right.
And there will be casualties. And the people you may have started out with not going to be the same ones that you're going to end up with. Sometimes the people are going to fall, your comrades going to fall on the way. But the whole thing is you contending for your faith.
That's right.
Paul said, told Timothy, I have fought a good fight.
That's right.
I have finished the course.
Amen.
Sure. And I kept the faith. Are we going to... The best person I could use to explain the priestly garments without the armor is David. When Saul offered him this armor, he said, I can't wear this. I can't wear this. And when he was asking his, finding out that seeing Goliath coming out there, and he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And when they told him what the king would give, If a man would take him down, his brothers criticized him. And you have to remember, he had already been anointed in front of his brothers for king. He was already traveling back and forth from the palace to play for Saul and then go back to his father's house to protect the sheep. God had already prepared him for the priesthood. But when he ignored his brothers when they was criticizing, turned back to the man and said, tell me again what God would do for the man. That was standing his ground. That was keeping the faith. I'm going after this. He goes out there and Goliath comes and says, you know, am I a dog? He said, you come with me, come at me with a spear, a javelin, and a shield.
That's
but
right.
I come in the name of the Lord.
That's right.
He was dressed in his priestly garment because he knew who he was. If we ever get to a full conclusion of who we are in Christ, we will realize that we are armed and dangerous.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God.
That make a good t-shirt. Armed and dangerous, Ephesians.
Yeah, we are armed and
dangerous. We are armed and dangerous.
God made a promise Okay, he said his word in Isaiah 55:11, he says his word will not go out and return void, but it will come, it will accomplish the thing that was sent, it was sent out to do. Mm-hmm. In Revelation 19:5, he said, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Mm-hmm. In Revelation 1:16, in his right hand he held 7 stars, and from his mouth there came forth a sharp two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. We're armed and dangerous. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. But we are not walking in the fullness mm-hmm. of God. Mm-hmm. God got so much for us. But we it's like when he told Moses, he said, I heard the cries of my people. Mm-hmm. And it has come up to me. And I'm coming down and I'm going to save them. Mm-hmm. Now you go. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See, he said, I heard the cry, mm-hmm. and I'm mm-hmm. coming down and I'm going to save him. Mm-hmm. But now you go, mm-hmm. because he got to have a body. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for mm-hmm. willing vessels. Mm-hmm. We're called by God to do the exploits and what people would see like the impossible. Mm-hmm. But with God, all mm-hmm. things are possible. All things, right? Mm-hmm. All things are possible. Amen. And the shield of faith, that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. In Habakkuk, says, we know, the just shall live by faith. And the armor was mentioned back in Isaiah 59:17, for the Lord put on righteousness as a breastplate or coat of mail, and salvation as a helmet upon his head. He put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal and furious divine jealousy mm-hmm. as a cloak. The Gentile believers had no knowledge of the priestly garments, but Paul used the Roman armor right. to explain what the armor really mm-hmm. is. And that's we are called priests of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And say, if you were called in the service back during that time, God said, call everybody from the age 30 to 50. And he said, if you were called to be in the service, you were called to be in the army. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. just like now, if you're called to be in the service, mm-hmm. you're called to be in the army. Mm-hmm. We're equipped and ready and need to be ready to fight. Mm. But God say, you know, keep not silent. It's intercession. Keep not silent. Be on the wall day and night and put me in remembrance. And I have to admit, no, I'm not always on that wall all the time. And I wish I was. Mm. I really do. But it's a blessing the way the Lord has orchestrated things where people pray at different times. Yeah. And I believe that all the gaps are filled. Mm. But still, yet it don't relegate that we should not be out there praying and fasting and pulling others out of the fire. Mm-hmm. Right. And the reason I wanted to go with this because of what they were dealing with. And for this house, right now, everybody in here is saved. Mm-hmm. The unity is sweet. Mm-hmm. That there's oneness. But you're looking forward to a church. Mm-hmm. Some of everything is going to come in that building.
That's right.
And if you're not ready, mm-hmm. it can split mm-hmm. it up. Mm-hmm. If we don't take what God has given us and start using it and being careful with one another. And when those things come through those doors, they're not coming in as saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. They're coming in to tear up some stuff, and they're gonna be making demands. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have seen some crazy stuff in the churches where people don't have no reverence, no respect for the house of God anymore. Mm-hmm. You imagine sitting with somebody. They come to church and they open up a newspaper and they read in the paper. Oh, somebody's sitting up in there knitting or crocheting or whatever. Then you got to turn it up a big old needle soda. And I mean, crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. But these things are coming in the door. Our nation, that Ephesians was infested with witchcraft and worshiping other gods. America is infested with witchcraft and worshiping other gods. You got the Masons to contend with, the Eastern Stars to contend with, Alpha Kappa and all them other things to contend with. People doing, there could be a witch living right next door. You could be behind one in the line at Walmart. But you got warlocks. Our movies are just witchcraft. You can't let your children put them in the front of TV and let them look at Disney World and think it's clean.
That's right.
Not with witches in it.
It's filled with witchcraft.
Yes.
All kind of little spirits and things that I thought was just, we will let Ashley look at Arthur. Until I looked at Arthur, was looking at Arthur one day, and she just walking around there and just talking. Who was she talking about? Talking to. And then that's a little spirit up there. You know, bling, bling. You can't leave them unguarded looking at TV. We got some things to contend with. And the ministry of today is intercession and deliverance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, because people say, you know, Christians can't have a demon. You can't be demon possessed, but you can be demonized.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
That's right.
Yes.
And now there's a lot of Christians that need to go through deliverance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything that's on the pulpit have not been called by God. Some people have called themselves. I remember when I was going to school for x-ray, and I was at the bus stop, and this guy came and he to catch the bus with me, and he was asking me, what are you going for? And I told him, and then I said, well, what are you going for? He said, I'm going to be a preacher. There's a lot of money to be made in that business. And that's where a lot of them are thinking, and that's how a lot of them are coming in. And they're draining the people. And some of it I have experienced firsthand myself. Where they expect, I had to really, really check myself, because I had a hard time respecting, after these things had happened to me, the people in authority, because I had one that wanted me to buy him a car. Yes.
Yeah, a lot of that going on.
They're draining the people. And a lot of them are not called by the Lord. Our nation is infested with witchcraft, and I know that we're looking for a church. We're expecting to open up the doors to a new house, and the body needs to be ready.
That's right.
The body needs to be ready. We need to know who we are in Christ. And the weapons that we have, Paul said, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And if we don't have ourselves in check, we can respond the wrong way when something gets out of hand.
Yes.
You need to be ready to pray at all times.
Yes.
At all times.
Right.
And I just cover us now with the blood of Jesus. I thank God for his work. I thank God for the word. I thank him for his presence. I pray that something was said. I didn't go through everything that I've written down, but it was a lot. I think the main thing was that we got the understanding of who we are in Christ and what the priestly garments really are. That we can't go out here and put on a metal helmet and walking around with a shield and a sword. It is putting on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And knowing that we are a royal priesthood. And yes, we are in a fight. And we are in war.
Praise God.
Yes. Does anyone have any questions while Joanne is standing there, pertaining to what we've studied about? Don't get us off on another tangent.
One thing I want to say, Jordan, is when you went to Revelation, you said Revelation 1:16, the mouth. And that's why God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. And that mouth has a two-edged sword, and it's going to cut. It's either going to cut for good or cut for evil. And it's going to cut. It's going to hurt somebody. And that's what I saw. You know, what words are you spewing out your mouth? Is it for good or for evil?
Yeah, it's the Lord in His mercy that needs us to be ready for what He, for what we're praying for. Sometimes we're praying for things and we don't even realize that to the extent of what we're praying for, what God has for us. But that's why God is restructuring or re-strengthening the foundation of this fellowship. And the only way we can do that is to be strong in our relationship with God. And it shows in our relationship with others. It shows.
I just want to comment that, yes, as the Lord is building the house, except He build it, thus that labor will labor in vain. So as the natural house is being built, the spirit of us needs to be built, as you said. Just want to comment that way. Yeah. Individually and collectively. Amen. Building us. Building the structure so that it will be strong and it will not fall down.
Amen.
The wolf, the enemy, can huff and puff, but it will be strong and it will not
fall
down.
That's right. And we'll know how to handle situations.
Yes.
When they arise. We'll know what to do.
And even, and I believe that even in this time, as we have entered in the new era, we have entered in the third day, that we will be of a people that it will not catch us off guard as it did in the first and second day. It will not catch us off guard. We'll know before it even enters the door. We will already know and perceive by the Spirit of God because we have entered into the new era. We are in the new day, the third day. And we will know that we are being built. The roots have gone down. They are deep. And they are strong.
And that it's the work of the Lord.
Yes.
It's the work of the Lord. It's what He's doing in us.
We will know through
dreams. That's
right. Fears. We will know through the prophetic.
That's right.
And we will know how to handle. We will already know. It will not catch us off guard. Matter of fact, when they enter in, we'll look at each other and go, we're expecting that. We were expecting this.
And don't you think
and
to
they
some
will
degree,
be delivered.
Yes, yes. And I look at us and the ministry that God uses at Christ Central through us. You know, we really don't even know some of the folks that come in there what they've gone through.
That's right.
And what they're in. Right now at that moment.
Yes.
Or even what some of them might be packing and carrying
That's
on
right.
their possessions.
Yes.
But you know, I've never had fear when I've entered that place.
No.
I've never had fear.
That's right.
Because I've always known we were where God wanted us to be. And it's the same way if we grow together individually in the Lord and we're strong in the Lord.
The Lord.
Let our roots go down deep in Him individually and like those the shoes that the Roman soldier wore, they had spikes on the bottom of it, right? We take our stand in Christ, then the peace of God, the peace of God that guards and leads our life, and then we know we're in the right place at the right time, then there's nothing to fear. And that's what you're saying. We have to know who we are in God and know that we're in the will of God. Let Him grow us up. Have that intimate relationship with Him. Be in the Word of God. Be in fellowship with Him. Be praying. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have a tongue, pray in
tongues. That's pray right. in the Spirit. Pray in tongues. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask God. God said He would fill you. There is a different work of the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, He comes and abides in you. By the Spirit of God, you're saved. But there is another definite work of the Holy Spirit, and that is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're praying in the Spirit, you are praying the will of God. Yes. I can't stress this enough. I can't encourage us enough. When you pray in that language, you are praying the will and the wisdom of God for your day.
Amen.
For your day.
Amen.
Carmen.
I want to look at David again. David had no fear. Going against, against Goliath, he had no fear. First of all, because we look at David's life and we see how he groomed himself in the Lord. The Lord had his hand. He groomed himself in the little job, in like what we say, the things that stunk.
Yeah. That's right. The sheep pen.
The things that stuck. He wasn't afraid to do the small task, to do the task that nobody else wanted to
That's
do.
That's right.
He went to go do that. He battled against those things that wanted to come after the sheep that stuck because those sheep had value. He knew what had value.
That's
he
right.
knew what God treasured. And he went after that. No matter how small. No matter how big, David took care of it. And I told Kathy this last year that I got an understanding for myself, and I know that the other things that we might say about the five stones, they're all good too. I don't throw them out. But I got a different understanding and a different perspective on those five stones. When David, at his time, there were how many books of the Word?
Five.
So when David went to go get those five stones, I'm good with the grace. I'm good with that. I still keep all that too. But when I got the understanding that evening, working and then just meditating on the Lord, listening to whatever was on and meditating on that, David, when he chose those five smooth stones, he thought Goliath. And then David was anointed.
He'd already been anointed.
David knew who he was.
That's right.
And I even, in that same evening, I got that understanding. I thought, wait a minute. David's brothers were there. They saw him get anointed.
That's right.
They know he's the upcoming king.
That's right.
And then they mocked.
They were jealous and angry.
The enemy threw them, and that's what Joanne was speaking of when she said, if you're a believer, if you're a true believer, you cannot be demon possessed, but you can be demonized. Don't think that the enemy won't use you.
That's right.
That's what that means.
That's
you get that thought in your head to anybody, and you speak that ugliness out against them, that was demonic.
That's right. That's right.
That enemy just used you. The enemy used his brothers to mock the kingship in him.
The ones that should have defended him and supported him.
And lifted him up. And what was he doing? Again, he was doing the small task. He was doing what his dad said. And said, take 10 loaves.
Yes.
Take cheese.
Yes.
All of those numbers, all of them mean something.
That's right.
So when David, knowing who he was, did not fear Goliath.
That's right.
But said, who do you think you are coming against the people of God? He said he gathered up five stones. I believe those stones were for Genesis, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Exodus,
Leviticus.
He said no matter which word.
The Torah, the
law. No matter. Every one of these stones represents the Torah. It doesn't matter which word I throw at you. Was the revelation and the understanding that I got from those five stones.
Good.
It doesn't matter which word I pick out of that word.
That's right.
It doesn't matter which one it is. For the word, it's like that rhema I got last year in Corinthians. For the word that God speaks.
The word that God
speaks. For the word that God speaks. It is operative, energizing, full of power.
That's
no matter
right.
which way.
That's right.
It'll divide between the spirit mm-hmm. and it's a two-edged sword. It doesn't matter which one of these
That's
words
right.
hit you between
That's
the
right.
eyes, mm-hmm. you going down.
That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is about God. David. That the Lord and will use the least likely.
Mm-hmm.
He will use the least likely. Mm-hmm. And he used David to stand in the gap and deliver this whole nation.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And David mm-hmm. spoke.
Mm-hmm.
David
he spoke.
Called him for what he was.
That's right.
Uncircumcised
Philistine.
You're out of covenant with God.
Yeah.
You don't have a covenant. We do.
Yeah. It came out of his mouth. He spoke it.
Can I Lord. Say something now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I know you did good.
Yeah.
Joanne, yes.
I was nervous.
Good to remind
you. Amen.
No.
Joanne.
You said up to the sixth chapter. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the old armor of God that he may be able to stand and withstand the wills of the devil. To me, God watches over us. Mm-hmm. He said in Psalms 91, he said he gives us an angel. Mm-hmm. That if we go in to dash our foot against the stone, if you are in Christ,
mm-hmm.
you have to be in Christ
mm-hmm.
for the enemy. And even when you're in Christ, the enemy will try to get at you.
Mm-hmm.
But number two, remember there's an angel there that God gives every one of us, his people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that angel not going to allow the enemy to tempt you and to get you if you are in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in Christ, the Bible says, all things are all become mm-hmm. old.
Mm-hmm.
And everything become in Christ mm-hmm. become new. Mm-hmm. You are a new person. You are born again. You are a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
You are praying. If your mouth not even working, your heart working.
Mm-hmm.
Praying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know many times secretly my heart praying.
Mm-hmm.
My mouth don't open, but my heart praying.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the safety. Those are the protection
mm-hmm.
that Paul is saying here. God give you all these protection.
Mm-hmm.
So all you have to do, if you find yourself sliding, call for your angel.
Mm-hmm.
Call for the Bible. Call for the word, because the word is in you.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ saved you, he put the word in you.
Mm-hmm.
So at all times, you have a backup.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you
right.
have a backup so, at mm-hmm. all times.
Yes, all times.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you did good.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, I got another comment.
No, it's okay.
No, because this is really good, because I can always remember hearing Dean say this also. Because Paul said, therefore, as Joanne read, therefore, put on the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
He did not ever say, take it off.
That's right.
It's a
what
lifestyle.
You put
a
lifestyle. On, mm-hmm. Once a lifestyle. You put it on, it ought to stay on.
Mm-hmm. Just Christ. Put on Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He never said to take it off, because back whatever years ago, that's why we need to be careful
yes.
with the Christianese talk and the slogans and the terms that come out. Some of them are very good.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the one with the t-shirt. I'm not kidding. We need to get t-shirts that say, we are armed and dangerous.
Armed and dangerous.
armed and dangerous. We are armed and dangerous, or whatever. Make sure we put scripture on, because people are, in this time
oh, yeah.
that we've got really going
oh, yeah.
on, people are going to be looking
oh,
at that.
Yeah.
But, it's like what that time that we went through, where people had someone else say, this is my armor bearer.
Mm.
They're the one carrying my... Dean said, what are you doing with your armor off?
Mm.
See, it sounds nice to be walking up to a podium and saying that this is my armor bearer.
So
you should have never been... What are you doing with your armor off? So we got to be careful with that Christian-y slogan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You put on the full armor
not
of God,
God
and you don't ever
right.
take it off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And God help me if something happens and any of us lose our breath or lose our... Definitely put it back on through some kind of whatever we went through.
Yeah.
But actually, it's not ever supposed to come off.
No. No.
And don't ever call somebody your armor bearer.
No. No.
There's no. Old Testament, that was Old Testament.
That's right.
But Jesus completed that.
That's correct.
You put him on and he stayed on.
That is correct.
Mm-hmm. Remember what Joanne said earlier. This is a spiritual battle. Our spiritual warfare and every piece of that armor is in the Word.
That's right. So, that's right.
You know, I don't need an armor bearer. I'm fighting a spiritual battle, not a battle that I can see.
And that's where it comes, Sean. If you need something, you need God. You need somebody to carry your Bible. What happened to your two hands? And that is your weapon. That is your sword. And you give somebody to take the sword and carry it. And then when they take it and carry it, and the enemy attacks you, what you have?
That's right.
But I don't
have time to put that armor on. I need to be ready.
That's right.
Season and out of season.
That's right. And, but not only that, Jesus told us he's going back to the Father and asking to send us a comforter. The comforter is the Holy Spirit. He's supposed to teach us all things and bring it back to our memory. So why am I having an armor bearer that somebody else can see? My armor bearer is in me.
That's right. Amen. Because that's what the sword of the Spirit is.
That's right.
We got to know the Word. We need to know the Word because we get in a battle out there. Let me see what the Lord say about
Thank
that.
You
ain't got time to look that thing up.
That's
you better have
that's
it on the inside.
On the inside.
The glory is on you. The glory is on you because you get all the glory. Nobody else get none. Because you have somebody to carry you to your Bible. You have somebody to put down your water. You have somebody to... What else you need? What else you need?
Listen, also, remember what Paul told Timothy. Study to show yourself a workman.
Yes.
Need not be ashamed. Right in the Bible.
You're all right over there.
Okay.
Right.
So let's take it back. Okay, so let's take it back to what Joanne said, okay? Let's take it all back. We have been made kings and priests unto God by the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
What else could Jesus make you?
Mm.
A king. You're a royal priesthood. A holy nation. That you should show forth the praises of God.
Mm.
The one who called you out of darkness and called you into light.
Right.
So that is a beautiful analogy. I never thought about it before in that the Gentiles had no knowledge of the priesthood. They had no knowledge of what the priest wore and what he was required to do when he went to the Holy of Holies. So he used the Roman that they would understand, which is what Jesus did when he taught in parables. But we know now what the priesthood stood for and what it meant. Amen. That we can go straight into the presence of God and live there by the blood of Jesus. I tell you, the presence of God is going to get thicker and stronger on God's people, stronger and stronger. Those who are walking in light, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger on God's people. It's going to get to the point you're going to be able to look at people. They won't be able to open their eyes and you're going to know. You're going to look at them. They won't be able to open their mouth.
Yeah.
And you're going to look at them, you're going to know what spirit they are of.
Yes, I mean,
You'll know what spirit they are of. It's going to get stronger and stronger on God's people.
God help us.
Those that have the hunger and thirst after God, you're going to know things. God will show you. They'll be standing there. They'll be standing there telling you something. God, the Holy Spirit on the inside will be saying, they're lying.
That's right. That's right.
You're lying.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
They're
not telling you the truth.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right. So be careful. Getting back to what Carmen was talking about, things we learn in the church. Be careful who you agree with.
Amen.
Be careful who you set your agreement with.
Yes.
Make sure you know. Just don't agree with someone just to be nice.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Unity is not when I agree with you.
No.
Unity is when I agree with God and you agree with God and then we're unified. Amen. This was a good word. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Joanne. Thank you. It was a good word.